Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the third Sunday of Easter, 2009.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Peter said to the people, "The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and denied in Pilate's presence when he had decided to release him. You denied the Holy and Righteous One and asked that a murderer be released to you. The author of life you put to death. But God raised him from the dead. Of this we are witnesses. Now I know, brothers, that you acted out of ignorance, just as your leaders did. But God has thus brought to fulfillment what he had announced beforehand through the mouth of all the prophets, that Christ would suffer. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be wiped away." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Lord, let your face shine on us.
Lord, let your face shine on us.
When I call, answer me, O my just God. You who relieve me when I am in distress, have pity on me and hear my prayer.
Lord, let your face shine on us.
Know that the Lord does wonders for his faithful one. The Lord will hear me when I call upon him.
Lord, let your face shine on us.
O Lord, let the light of your countenance shine upon us. Put gladness into my heart.
Lord, let your face shine on us.
As soon as I lie down, I fall peacefully asleep. For you alone, O Lord, bring security to my dwelling.
Lord, let your face shine on us. A reading from the first letter of St. John. My children, I am writing this to you so that you may not commit sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the Righteous One. He is expiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for those of the whole world. The way we may be sure that we know him is to keep his commandments. Those who say, "I know him," but do not keep his commandments, are liars, and the truth is not in them. But whoever keeps his word, the love of God is truly perfected in him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The two disciples recounted what had taken place on the way, and how Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of bread. While they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and terrified, and thought they were seeing a ghost. Then he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have." And as he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed, he asked them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of baked fish. He took it and ate it in front of them. He said to them, "These are my words that I speak to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and psalms must be fulfilled." He opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that the repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Hello and welcome to your Sunday Reader. I'm Brian, and I'm here today with Dawn.
Hello, everyone.
Of course, we're here to talk about the readings we just heard. And Dawn, before the podcast, you were mentioning to me that these readings sound eerily familiar to the ones from last week.
Yeah, especially the gospel. We heard the same beginning part of the story when Jesus visits the disciples in the upper room, well, in the room, and it's almost identical to the beginning of last week's gospel. Now, last week's gospel finished with Thomas, and this week we finished with something different. But in general, we have the whole peace thing and Jesus eating, and so we have that same thing. So hopefully we'll have enough to talk about.
Oh, and I'm sure we will.
Yeah.
I think that that peace thing is an important thing. We talked about it last week. I don't know if you weren't on the podcast, mm-hmm. but Deacon Josh Lang filled in. And we were talking about the whole concept of peace and the fear and the terror, because both readings talk about that the disciples had some kind of a sense of fear and terror and that kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of talked about that and said, you know, what's going on here? And one of the things, of course, is that the last time the disciples had seen Jesus, they had left him for dead. And so, of course, they're probably terrified when this guy who they'd abandoned came back. And I think it's real important, Jesus' response is peace. Mm-hmm. Because it's that sense of putting the relationship back in its right order. He's not come for vengeance or anything. And I think last week it was particularly important. I preached on it at the parish that I help out at in the context of Divine Mercy Sunday, because right. I think that's where we learn most about Divine Mercy, is God is forgiving the people who literally left him for dead.
And, you know, this week we also, the gospel starts with the two disciples coming back from Emmaus. And I just have to throw in this little piece before, because it's really neat. You know, at St. Mary's, we've just had our stained glass windows cleaned, and they're much brighter now.
Yes.
And
so, yeah. They started that last year when I was there.
Right. And actually, just today, as we're recording this, they're putting in the rose window over the organ, which has been gone all for 6 months, so we're all excited. But anyhow, when I come out to help with communion, I stand by the ambo, and across from me is the Emmaus reading, or the Emmaus story window. So it's Jesus, he's sitting at a table, and the two disciples are to the side, and he's breaking the bread. And so at 2 weeks in a row now, at 9 o'clock Mass, when I come out, the sun is just at the right angle, and it's so bright. But you can see the two disciples on the side, but you can't see Jesus because the sun is so bright. And you know, it was that whole image of him breaking the bread, and it's just so neat. So we don't have the Emmaus readings in this cycle, so I just had to stick it in there somewhere.
Excellent. Well, that's good, though, because I think that is important. The other thing, though, is you mentioned something. I'm going to play Dawn here today. This is so exciting here.
Oh, boy.
Here, you used a word, and I don't know how many of our listeners would know what the proper word. You said ambo.
Oh, yes. One of those crazy church words.
Yep.
The ambo is basically the place where they do the scripture readings from. So right. The first reading, oftentimes a person will sing the psalm from it, the second reading, the gospel. And then sometimes the priest will stay, or the deacon will stay in the ambo, or the lectern, some people call it, yep. and to give the homily. So
yep.
that's the fancy church word.
Yep. The fancy pulpit or whatever.
But yeah, the pulpit, yes, that's another word.
Yeah, that people use. But yes, that's it's the one, like you said, where the scriptures are proclaimed from. Because
right.
ideally, we have a situation where announcements and things should be read from another one. Now, it doesn't have, not every place has multiple podium or pulpits or things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's what it is. So our listeners know that. One of the things in the readings that I want to touch upon, I mentioned it to you before the podcast, is this whole image of Christ's resurrection. And the thing that I think comes out to me in these readings is how Jesus is still a human being in his resurrection. He still has a body, and that's very clear. He's telling him, you know, touch me, and he eats and everything. And clearly it's a different type of body, because at times, you know, we see him disappear in his resurrected life or walk through walls, but it is a body nonetheless. And I think this leads into some of the church's teachings on how serious we take our physical bodies. A lot of times I think we tend to think that after we die, you know, our spirit goes to heaven and that's what survives and our body just kind of corrupts. But we do believe in a bodily resurrection. Our bodies will be like Christ's glorified body, is what we're told by St. Peter and Paul both mentioned that. And I think that's an important thing, because a lot of times people wonder, why does the church have so many teachings about our bodies? And it's because we take it seriously, because, first of all, it's part of our being made in the image and likeness of Christ, but they are part of who we are. They're not these secondary things that we just have while we're here on earth, and then eventually it's just our spirit that's really who we are. But our bodies do are a lot about who we are, which is why we have so many teachings on how we should try to take care of our bodies. And, you know, there's all kinds of teachings, from our teachings on, you know, sexuality to our teachings about, you know, what is appropriate use of your body, what's not, you know, why we don't try to destroy our bodies or something like that.
Well, you know, when you say that, it makes me think of, I know Pope John Paul II came out with something that was called the theology of the body. Can you give us a synopsis of what that might be?
Yes, the theology of the body, actually what it is it was a series of talks that he gave. And it was eventually they were put together and published into a larger work. And it was basically his whole he was trying to develop a theology of living as an incarnate being, as living in a body, and how it's important theologically to us. So it's not just something that we have, again, like it's a physical thing or scientific thing, but what is the theology behind our bodies? And how do we use them to engage in our relationship with Christ and with one another in the church? And what we learn from our whole experience as Catholics, really, is we do take our bodies seriously for prayer. I mean, for prayer at Mass, I mean, the joke is always that you're standing, you're sitting. I think, was it Marge Simpson said, all that standing, sitting, and kneeling, it's like a game of Simon Says with no winner. But part of what it is it's saying that we're not just intellectual beings, we're not just spiritual beings, but we are physical beings. And when we worship God, we do so with our mind, with our soul, but also with our bodies. Mm-hmm. And that can be expressed in many ways. It's expressed in our, you know, sexuality in the context of a marriage. It's expressed in church, you know, through standing at more important moments and kneeling at important times as well, or sitting, and that should kind of specify what type of moment we're in. Similar, you know, when you're in a meeting or something like that, or you're in Congress and the president walks into Congress, everybody stands up. There's meaning behind that bodily gesture, and there's meaning behind our own bodily gestures. And so his whole theology of the body is really, how do we use our bodies and how do we take them seriously and use them as a way to bring praise and glory to God? And a lot of times it just gets stereotyped as sexuality, because he does focus a lot on that, but it really goes beyond that. It's really a whole theology. It's not called the theology of sexuality. It's called the theology of the body, because it's what does it mean to be an incarnate being? You know, what does it mean to be a human being and in a body? And then how do we use that body to relate to God? And even what we learn too is that God himself takes on a body in the person of Jesus. And so we definitely have that as well, that we are like God and that we have a body just like God has a body in the incarnation, of course.
You know, if our listeners want any more, they can, I'm sure if you look online, you can find the text online, but I recently bought a book at like Barnes & Noble or somewhere, talking about theology of the body and then applying it more. And so those books are out there, so you could look for that. I just had one more thought. It sort of struck me last week when I was listening to a homily, but it also applies to this week, because Jesus talks about, in the gospel, he talks about, you know, look, touch, and see. And I got to thinking about how important that is. You know, we spend a lot of time mentally thinking about God, and in prayer we pray in different ways, but that whole touching aspect, how important that is when we actually encounter God in the world in different places, and it just gives a whole huge more dimension to our faith when we take it beyond just the looking.
Yep. I think you're absolutely right. And it's, again, I think it also comes down to that fact that we are bodily creatures, and so that's part of the way we have to interact with the world. We can't just think about the world around us. You know, we have to live in it, and we have to do things in the world around us, and we have to interact with you know, other physical objects and people and, you know, things like that in the world around us. And, you know, of course, we're called to do that in relationship with Christ. Also, what we learn is that Christ in Vatican II teaches this, you know, clearly, is not, he's certainly present in the Eucharist, and that's his strongest form of presence that we have, his real presence, but he's present in many other ways around us. And it is a question of, you know, how do we see Christ present? How do we see God working through these material things in our world? How do we see him? A lot of times people talk about, you know, they experience God in nature and everything like that, and certainly we should see God there. And we should actually, I think, try to take that a step beyond that. And how do we see God in other things that we interact with, or do we? Because I think that can be a real challenge for people. And I think it's an important part of our faith is to remember that it's not something that's just a mental activity. It's not something that's just a spiritual activity, but it's a bodily activity as well.
Right.
And Dawn, I think on that note, we're coming to the end of the podcast. So we hope some people got something out of our rant here. And hopefully they'll join us next week on your Sunday Reader. Have a good week. God bless.